All right, guys, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Now, we're doing a study, a series through James in which we're talking about living our everyday lives for Jesus. And James is a very practical book, and he wants us to live spiritual lives. He wants us to be in connection to him. So I want to start off our message today, kind of going along, just kind of remind ourselves where we have been so far. And so I want to look at a passage together with you. I'll read it to you. It's chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. This is how he finishes out chapter 1. He says, "If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So let me just kind of remind you of a couple of things here. First of all, here's reality. If you want to say you're a spiritual person, if you want to say that you know Jesus and you're telling other people about that, you got to have one thing under control, and that's your mouth. So first of all, if you don't have control over your words, your spirituality is worthless. Bottom line, I don't care how much you tell people you love Jesus, if you don't have control of your mouth, that's a big question mark. You say, "Was that just you, George?" No, go back to verse 26. Look at what he says. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, it's interesting. We live in a time where it doesn't have to just be words spoken out of your mouth. It could be words that you're posting online. Every week goes by that I'm reading about someone who said something online and they're losing their job because they said something online that they would never say in person with somebody else. And it's like they lack control. And if you are a person who loves Jesus, your control isn't just over your mouth, it's over everything that you communicate through whatever means. This is what he's talking about here. Get your mouth under control. In fact, he's going to get into that when we get into chapter 3, where he talks about the tongue. If you go a little bit further, it's just not out of nowhere that he all of a sudden starts talking about the tongue in chapter 3. It comes out of what he said in chapter 1. And so the reality is your spirituality, we need to be reminded, if you're spiritual, you got to get your mouth under control. Here's the other one. True spirituality is demonstrated through our actions towards those in need. Don't sit there and say you love Jesus, but you don't help anybody. Because the fact of the matter is you and I come in contact with people every day who have some sort of need that maybe you can help. But if you're truly loving Jesus, if you're truly walking with God, then that reality is going to be expressed in your life as you help people. In fact, that's what we spent most of chapter 2 talking about. Talking about the reality of being there for other people, evidencing that. In fact, that's where the next point comes in. Faith that does not lead to change in actions is meaningless. So the last point kind of combines the first two points. What do you mean the first two points? Well, remember I told you, if you don't have control of your mouth, your faith is meaningless. Number two, if you're not doing something to help other people, your faith is meaningless. So then he comes along, and this is where we ended with the last time we spoke 2 weeks ago about the reality that if you say you have faith, then show it by your works. Show it by how you live your life. Does faith come out of your life in how you are with other people? And the reality is that faith that doesn't lead to change in your actions is meaningless. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I want you to think with me. I've been a believer now 40 years. I can think back to churches I've pastored. I can think back to churches that I have attended. I have met numerous people who could talk the talk. Do you understand what I mean by that? They could say they believe. They could say, they could quote doctrine. They could quote Bible. But they were some of the meanest, most miserable people that you've ever met in your life. And the way they treated other people had you wondering, do they really know Jesus? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. James is saying, no, they don't. Because if you truly know him, and if you truly are following him, it's going to come out of your life and how you are with other people. It's going to result in change. Because here's the thing. If somebody says to me, well, I've known Jesus for 20 years and nothing's changed, that in itself says something. If you've known Jesus for 20 years and you haven't changed in the least bit, that's a scary thing. And so today what he's going to do with the last part now, verses 20 through the end of the chapter, he's going to talk about how true faith is evident. I want you to notice with me what it says here in verses 20 to 26. Here's what he writes. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abram, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, faith was active along with his works. Faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the rest of our time talking about how actions, how you live your life, reveals what you believe, reveals what you have faith in. Now, that might be somewhat interesting because you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, I'm saved by my faith. Yes, you're saved by your faith. Nobody's challenging that. That's the only way to come to Jesus is by faith. But the fact of the matter is that if you truly have faith, if you truly believe in him, it's going to be reflected in how you live your life. And how you interact with people. What, do you mean that means I need to walk around with a Bible, George, and talk holy talk or do all that? No. That, to be honest with you, is really trivializing it. No. If you truly know him, he changes you. Over time, he changes you. And it's going to be reflected in how you interact with people. It's going to be reflected in how you live your life. So let's take a look at it. We're going to go through what he's saying here. First of all, look with me. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 20, here's what he says. In verse 20, he says, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? What's he saying here, George? Well, here's what it is. True faith is always demonstrated through outward actions. True faith is always demonstrated through outward actions. Now, I want you to think for a moment. That makes sense. What do you mean? Well, if you truly believe in God, and if you truly believe that he is the ultimate, that he is the supreme, most high God, that he saved you, that he is interacting in your life, He is speaking to you through his word. And as he's speaking to you through his word, he is showing you things about yourself that need to change. He's showing you things about how you need to interact with other people. He's showing you things about how you live your life. If you truly believe in him and you realize that he is the supreme person for you, okay, then when he shows you these things, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. What do you mean a choice? You have a choice to say, yes, I believe what you're telling me, so therefore I'm going to change. Or you could choose not to believe and don't do anything. This is the point that James is making here. True faith is always demonstrated through outward actions. It's by you doing what he calls you to do. And let's just go ahead and say it. My interaction with God shows me things today, 40 years later from when I became a believer, that he is showing me that I need to change. I can almost guarantee you it's different than anything he's showing you. Because I'm George. And he knows me, and he knows what needs to change in my life, and he knows what I need help with. Guarantee you, God, when he interacts with you, he's showing you things about you. He's showing you attitudes. He's showing you actions. He's showing you conversations that you might have had where you maybe said something you shouldn't have said. He's showing you things that you need to change in your life. And he's saying to you, I need you to do this. Now, you have a choice at that time. I have a choice at that time to either respond by faith and say, okay, Lord, I believe you. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And do it. So, okay, you know, I wasn't here last week. I had some health things going on, emotional things going on about my son. And the realization hit me, okay, God, I've been going full tilt, not paying attention after I had that medical procedure and listening to the doctor who told me to take it easy. You're making me take it easy. You're making me take it easy. So now I have a choice, Lord. Do I listen to you or do I just keep going on and try plow through this? So I listen to him. This is what I'm talking about. Faith is in response to what he's showing you. Faith is in response to what he's doing for you. Did you understand? So here's the second thing I want you to see, okay? Second thing. Look with me at verse 21. Here's what he says. Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Okay, we all remember that story, right from the book of Genesis. Abraham, who has been promised that he would have a son, waited 25 years for it to be fulfilled. Then he has a son, and God says, I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him up there as a sacrifice. How many of you would do that? I mean, like last night, can I be honest with you, Lori and I, we went down. Of course, we're going to Indiana a lot more these days than we normally do. And so we were in Indiana last night visiting my son and his wife. No, we were visiting our grandson. We just happened to be there with my... So we're there visiting Thaddeus, okay? And I got to hold him and had a big smile. I don't normally smile, but I had a big smile. And I cannot picture in my mind being told to sacrifice him. But that's what Abraham did. That was what God said of Abraham. So we know the story, right? And so, of course, he goes up there, and he's getting ready to make the cut, to make the sacrifice, and God stops him. Because he showed God his faith. So here's the point. Here's what I want you to see. Actions provide evidence of the authenticity of one's faith. Actions provide evidence. In fact, listen, Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. Listen to what God says. Listen to what was said to Abraham when he was about ready to sacrifice. Listen to what it says. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God says to him, I know you believe because you were willing to do it. See, just simply sitting around and saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, but nothing changes in your life. It's not evident in your life and how you live your life and how you interact with him and doing what he tells you to do. That's meaningless. But if you act on what he tells you to do, it's evidence to him. Yes, he believes me. Yes, he trusts in me. Yes, he has faith. In fact, that's what it tells us here. Now, listen, here's what I'm saying. Look at me again. If we consider what's going on here, your faith is completed by your actions that respond to it. In fact, I think it's an interesting passage of Scripture, okay? Look with me at what it says here. Consider what it says here. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. All right, what's that saying, George? Okay, so first of all, he's saying your faith is active, showing itself to be real along with what you do, with how you interact with people, in accordance with the way he wants you to interact with people. Your faith is active in how you live your life, by what you do. In fact, here's what it says. And look at what it says. And faith was completed by his works. So when I act on what he tells me to do, that's the completion of faith. Okay, let me go back. I shared with you earlier, 25 years ago, I didn't really want to come here, but God was working in my heart, and he was guiding me to come here. And there have been many times through those 25 years, he has confirmed, this is where I want you to be, George. My serving here is an act of faith, because I'm responding to what he told me to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it completes my faith. We had a leader here long ago who said something about that, who said to me that the church is my sanctification. Does everybody understand what sanctification is? That big theological term that talks about becoming like Jesus? And that leader said to me, the church is my sanctification. It's through this church that I'm becoming closer and more attuned with God. Why? Because my faith is being completed here in response to what he told me to do. This is what he wants us to understand. Just simply mouthing words, oh, I believe, but didn't you live like you don't even believe? That's meaningless. In fact, let me remind you of the scariest passage in the Bible. It is in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, in that day, many will come in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not do these great things in your name? Cast out demons, all this stuff. And then he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. But these people thought they knew him. But he says to them, I never knew you. That's a scary verse, isn't it? So the reality is, listen to me, the reality is your faith is completed by your actions that respond to it. So here's a couple more things I want you to see. First of all, when we look at verse 24 and 25, your acceptance with God is tied to your faith being demonstrated through your actions. And here he gives the illustration of Rahab the harlot. Now Rahab was a Canaanite woman. She was a prostitute. She lived in a city that was going to be destroyed by God. And she says in her testimony, if you go to the passage in Judges, she says, we heard about your God and what he did and what he did to these kings. And she believed in that God. So therefore, she hid the spies. She demonstrated her faith in the God who was coming. It resulted in action. Not just open, empty words. It resulted in action. Here's the other thing I want you to see. Look with me at verse 26. Here's what he says. For the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith also apart from works is dead. So here's what I want you to see. Faith that is not reflected in actions is spiritually dead. All right, do you want to know how you're spiritually alive? You want to know how you know that you have a meaningful relationship with God? It's not by how many prayers He's answering in your life. That can be a sign, but that's not the sign. Do you want to know how you can be aware that you are a spiritual person? Then look at what you do with what He tells you. And again, I'm going to tell you, what He tells you is going to be different than what He tells me. Because the fact of the matter is, you're going to meet different people than I am in a given day. You're going to face situations that are completely different than the situations I face. You're going to have to make decisions that are completely different than decisions I have to make. All of us are going to have interactions. We're going to be in different crises and so forth. And sometimes we have to step out in faith and do what He's telling us to do. But here's how you know if you're truly spiritual. It's whether or not you act upon what God's telling you. And the fact of the matter is, folks, it's very clear. If you don't, your spirituality is dead. Bottom line, your spirituality is dead. It's meaningless. It's worthless. Those are the words that he uses here. It's not George's words. So what do we do with this, George? Where do we go with what we're talking about here? All right? Because next week we're going to go off talking about the next thing he talked about, the mouth, in our talking. Where do we go here? Listen to me. Where do we go? Look at your life. Look at what you believe. Now the question is what you believe changing you? That's the question. Is what you believe changing you? Well, you say, I don't need to be changing more. No. Stop. If you're still here, you still need to be changed. Everybody understand that? If you're still breathing and kicking around, you're getting ready for lunch here soon. If you're still whatever, I'm telling you, you need to change. Well, what do you mean you need to change? What are you going to tell me what? I'm not going to tell you what to change. God's going to tell you what to change. He's going to look at you and He's going to point out to you the things that need to change in your life, the attitudes and so forth. He's going to reveal that all to you. And yes, it makes you uncomfortable. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? See, this is the thing. You got to look at yourself and decide, look at yourself and say to yourself, I believe. And here's how I can tell. Because I'm doing what you told me to do, Lord. Because I'm doing what you told me to do. Which brings me to my second point. Start listening. Start listening. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you know Jesus Christ, He is speaking to you. What do you mean? Is it a voice? No. Doesn't have to do that. He's speaking to you through His Word. He's speaking to you through interaction with other believers. He's speaking to you by coming to a service and hearing something. He's speaking to you through prayer. He's showing you things, telling you things. He's making it very evident. So start listening. Now, what do you mean? Listen, James already has talked about it. Act on it now. Do what He's telling you to do. Well, I don't know that I feel comfortable doing that. I understand. Sometimes what we're told to do doesn't mean it's easy, but you still do it because it's what's best for you? What's best? The issue is, folks, there is a God who wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to interact with you. He wants you to trust him. But when he says he wants you to trust him, he wants you to trust him to do what he's asking you to do. And again, that's going to be different for each one of us. But your faith is expressed in how you respond. Something to think about. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your grace, for your love, for your mercy. You died for us. You offer to us eternal life. You who are the Most High, and we believe who you are, but help us, Lord, to live out our faith doing what you have told us to do. May our faith be evident through our actions. Help us not to deceive ourselves into thinking just because I mentally believe that's it. No, no. What is the evidence of my faith? Is it evident in my life? That's what James is talking about. That's what we need to understand, Lord. Help us. Help us to be the people that you are calling us to be. So we ask this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.